Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Made in China, A Prisoner, An SOS Letter, and The Hidden Cost of American Cheap Goods is an investigative nonfiction book by journalist Amelia Pang. It begins with a widely reported 2012 incident in which Julie Keith, a mother in Oregon, found a handwritten plea for help inside a box of Halloween decorations bought at Kmart. Pang traces the note to Sun Yi, a Chinese engineer and Falun Gong practitioner who had been imprisoned and forced to make export goods. From that specific case, the book expands into a broader examination of forced labor, political repression, and the opaque supply chains behind inexpensive consumer products. Its purpose is not only to document abuses within Chinese labor camps and detention systems, but also to show how Western brands, retailers, and consumers can become connected to those abuses through demand for low prices, fast production, and limited accountability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the SOS letter turns a hidden supply chain into a human rights case. The book is structured around the discovery of a handwritten SOS letter inside a package of Halloween decorations, a small consumer object that becomes evidence of a much larger system. Pang uses this incident effectively because it collapses the distance between an American household and a Chinese detention facility. The product is ordinary, inexpensive, and seasonal, which makes the revelation more unsettling. Abuse is not confined to rare luxury goods or distant industrial sectors, but can be embedded in everyday discount purchases. By following the letter back to Sun Yi, Pang avoids treating forced labor as an abstract policy issue. The reader encounters a named person with a profession, beliefs, fears, and a calculated decision to risk punishment by contacting the outside world. This framing also demonstrates how difficult such abuses are to detect. The letter reached a consumer by chance, not through a functioning inspection system. That accident becomes one of the book's central arguments if the public only sees forced labor when a prisoner smuggles out a plea. Then normal mechanisms of corporate and government oversight are failing. Secondly, Sun Yi's imprisonment links forced labor to political repression. Pang presents Sun Yi not simply as a factory worker exploited for cheap production, but as a political prisoner caught in the Chinese state security system. His detention followed his association with Falun Gong, a spiritual movement banned by the Chinese Communist Party. This matters because the book connects forced labor to political control rather than treating it as only an economic abuse. In this context, labor is not merely unpaid or underpaid work. It is part of punishment, ideological pressure, and coercive re-education. Prisoners can be compelled to meet production quotas while facing surveillance, threats, and physical or psychological abuse. The book also shows that political detainees, religious minorities, rights advocates, and ordinary criminal prisoners may be placed within overlapping systems of confinement and labor. This connection changes the moral analysis of imported goods. A low price may reflect not just weak labor standards, but a state apparatus that turns repression into production capacity. Pang's focus on Sun Yi gives readers a concrete way to understand how a detention system can serve both political discipline and global commerce. Thirdly, Laogai production exposes the limits of ethical consumer confidence. A major theme in Made in China is the difficulty of knowing whether a product is free from coercive labor. Pang discusses the Laogai system, a network of prisons, camps, factories, and related facilities associated with reform through labor. The significance of this system is that it can be hidden behind layers of subcontracting, warehouse transfers, and falsified documentation. A retailer may not directly order goods from a prison, but production can still pass through contractors or suppliers that obscure where items were made. This complicates familiar ideas of ethical shopping. Labels, brand promises, and supplier codes of conduct can create reassurance without necessarily proving that labor conditions are acceptable. Pang's reporting emphasizes that forced labor is especially hard to audit because workers cannot speak freely when retaliation is possible. Records can be incomplete or manipulated, and auditors may see only what factories are prepared to show. The book therefore challenges a simple consumer solution. Awareness matters, but the problem cannot be solved only by choosing better products one at a time. It requires stronger verification, legal pressure, and corporate responsibility. Fourthly, American demand for cheap goods is treated as part of the system. Pang does not present forced labor as a problem caused only by distant authoritarian practices. A distinctive feature of the book is its insistence that American consumption helps shape the conditions under investigation. Retailers compete by offering low prices, rapid inventory turnover, and constant novelty. Brands then pressure suppliers to reduce costs and meet tight deadlines. In a global supply chain with weak transparency, that pressure can create incentives for subcontracting, hidden labor sources, and abusive production arrangements. The book does not argue that individual consumers intend harm when they buy inexpensive decorations, clothing, or electronics. Instead, It examines how ordinary purchasing habits become part of an economic structure that rewards the cheapest possible output while making the human cost difficult to see. This is why the subtitle's reference to cheap goods is important. Pang asks readers to consider what a price leaves out wages, safety, freedom of movement, and the ability to refuse work. The argument is strongest when it moves beyond blame and shows how convenience, corporate secrecy, and consumer expectations reinforce one another. Lastly, Uyghur forced labor broadens the book beyond one prisoner's story, although Sun Yi's story anchors the narrative. Pang expands the investigation to include contemporary concerns about forced labor involving Uyghur Muslims and other minorities, particularly in relation to Xinjiang and transfer programs connected to factories elsewhere in China. This broadening is important because it shows that the SOS letter was not an isolated anomaly. The mechanisms may differ across cases, but the recurring pattern is coercion combined with restricted information. Detainees, former detainees, or vulnerable minority workers may be placed in work settings where refusal is not meaningfully available and speech to outsiders is dangerous. Pang also connects these concerns to major international brands and consumer sectors such as apparel, footwear, cotton, and technology supply chains. The book is careful to show why standard assurances are insufficient when workers face political intimidation. If employees cannot safely describe how they arrived at a factory or whether they are free to leave, normal workplace interviews lose credibility by including Uyghur forced labor. Pang situates Sun Yi within a wider human rights landscape and shows that supply chain ethics must account for state coercion, not only private employer misconduct. In conclusion, Made in China is best suited for readers interested in investigative journalism, human rights, China, global trade, ethical consumption, and corporate accountability. It will be especially useful for consumers who want a clearer understanding of why low prices can conceal serious social costs, as well as for students, activists, policy readers, and professionals concerned with supply chain risk. Its practical benefit is not that it offers an easy shopping checklist. The book is more valuable because it explains why easy answers are inadequate. Readers gain a sharper sense of how subcontracting, falsified records, weak audits, and political coercion can make abuse nearly invisible. Intellectually, the book stands out by combining a specific, memorable case with a broader analysis of globalization. Many books on labor exploitation focus primarily on factories, brands, or trade policy. Pang differentiates her work by centering a prisoner's act of communication and then tracing how that message implicates retailers, governments, auditors, and consumers. The result is a compact but serious account of forced labor that avoids reducing the issue to either foreign brutality or consumer guilt alone. It is most compelling as a bridge between personal testimony and systemic investigation. If you would like to support Amelia Pang, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.